Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisers and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. It's one of those well-known verses that we've probably read a million times if we've gone to Sunday school a million times, right? The story of Daniel and the lion's den, and you might wonder, why is he using that on a day when we're talking about habits? If we're talking about habits, why would you be using Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den? It doesn't work out so well for Daniel, right? Because of the habits in which he had. Well, I'd have to argue and say that we're probably all creatures of habit, aren't we? Yeah? And when things don't go the way we want them to go, we're like, what? That's not the way it's done. Even when we get up in the mornings, if I went around the room and asked the people that go to work every day, even those of us that don't go to work, there's certain things that we do in an order every single day. First thing that happens in my house, kettle goes on. First thing. Sometimes it's wrestling children out of bed because it's a school day, but somewhere in there, the kettle goes on. What about at your place? Are there certain things that you do every day? And then when they don't happen, you sort of feel a bit off-center for the rest of the day. Or maybe it's just me, but I'm pretty sure that we are all creatures of habit. There are some people that are such creatures of habit that they put the same sock on the same foot first when they're getting dressed in the mornings. That might be you. Don't judge them if you're sitting beside them, because it's me too. That's just weird. Thanks for your support, Neil. I appreciate it. But every day, always. Even I've found when I have to go out in the middle of the night because of it's always left sock first. Yes. I've got a friend in the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're on your own, Tony. Much of what we do normally is not because of any sort of choices that we make, but it is the result of daily habits, things that we do every day. If you drive to work, How often do you think, I'm going to go a different way today, just for a bit of variety? No, you take the same roads to get to the same place every single day. Over 40% of our actions that we do daily aren't the result of decision-making, they're result of habits. Last week, Debbie shared with us our first week in this series on habits, and she said these words, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Now, you can look at that in business life, but I'm talking about, and Debbie was talking about, our spiritual life. Having a rich spiritual life comes down to the fact that we do things consistently and other people do them occasionally. A powerful example of this is found in the person of Daniel. Most think Daniel and they go straight to the lion's den, don't they? We always go to the end zone. The reality is that most of us in here, certainly me, is a destination guy. I've had some friends that have recently gone on a trip. They enjoyed the journey. I'd be like, let's get to the next destination. Hence why I wasn't invited. Because I'd be absolutely, let's just get there. And sorry to my family when we go places. We're going to there, let's get there. Well, yeah, would they say that? And are we there yet? There's no time for that. We're just going there. And every time they say, you know, how much longer, I always say, we're closer now than we were before. And I don't say that to split hairs. It does make my daughter's blood pressure rise. But I think that's the same with our Christian journey, right? We're closer now than where we were before. The reality is that most of us, at some point in our lives, want to be destination people. We want to have made it. We actually don't want to wrestle out what the journey looks like. Daniel was so distinguished, as Debbie read for us before, among the administrators and satraps, by his exceptional qualities, that he planned to be put in charge of the entire kingdom. What happens in Australia, like what happens in ancient texts, is exactly the same. As soon as somebody rises to the top, let's chop them down. You know, we have something in Australia called the tall poppy syndrome. It's not actually referenced in Scripture, but the inference is there, right? It's not referenced there. I'm not putting things into there that aren't there, but it's the same kind of concept that all of a sudden, if somebody's going to get a little bit higher than us, then let's just make sure that we take him down. They couldn't find anything that was going to fail, that Daniel was failing at, because he was of exceptional integrity. The only thing that they could trip him up on was his faithfulness to God. Isn't that an awesome thing to be tripped up on? That they could see his faithfulness to God in the midst of all of the decisions in which he was making. When something came against Daniel, what did he do? He stuck to his habits. He stuck to his habits and actually made it more so. He went to a room in his house, an upper room, opened the windows and prayed to God. So he didn't do it behind closed doors, but he opened the windows and did it. What about your life? I can certainly tell you it's right for mine. That there are many times, just think about trying to stop three times a day in the midst of what we might call busyness. Stopping three times a day to pray. That in the midst of all the craziness that was going on in their lives, God was still number one, that he was prepared to pause. He was prepared to stop. He was prepared to say, it doesn't matter what's happening in my diary, because isn't that what runs our life? Our diaries? What's happening next? Ticking it off, getting to the next destination? No, it doesn't matter what's in my diary. I'm going to pause and I'm going to turn my face towards Jesus or towards God. What a challenge for us this morning. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, for us to be successful as people, we need to take on fixed hour prayer, but I love it. It's good. And the richest times in my life where I've, in my spiritual journey, have been when I've practiced pause and practiced time aside in fixed hour prayer. My phone, you can get apps for your phone. I'm happy to talk to you about it at morning tea. That helped me with that. And I pray at 7, midday, and 5 p.m. every day. Is it a long, drawn-out process? No, but it's just nice to have that reset, right? When things come in and crowd us in, Daniel could have easily, for 30 days, said, yeah, I'll go along with what everyone needs me to do just to keep the pressure off. But instead, no, what did he do? He did what he always did. And kept his focus entirely on what God is asking him to do. And so he spent time aside. That one small habit allowed him to give clarity to his identity. That one small habit gave him a confidence. That one small habit of spending time aside with God gave him a faith that couldn't be shaken. For those that were here a couple of weeks ago or have watched it online, they would see that I shared a couple of weeks ago about being at the end of our overcoming series. I shared about how I am one of the bravest people you'll ever meet, particularly when it comes to critters and birds and all sorts of other things, right? Maybe not. But that's not exactly what I said a couple of weeks ago at all. But as you know, I'm not a massive fan of critters and bugs and things that, you know, can come in my space. How much more am I scared of a lion's den as being the end result? If that's the destination, mate, I would have worshipped anything. That's the humanness in me, right? I would have done whatever it took not to get into that lion's den, but through the single small habit of turning his face towards God and praying throughout the day, his faith was strengthened. His faith was built up. A number of years ago, a gentleman was flying who was a pilot and had been a pilot for 35 years. And just like he'd done on a number of different times, he was flying a United Airlines flight in the US, and what many would call as a freak accident occurred. After they had taken off from the airport, a flock of birds hit one of the engines and it took it out. What they then realized was it wasn't just one of the engines, but both of the engines. And here he was with 180 or so people, 163 I think actually, in this plane, and he's got a big jumbo jet in the middle of the airspace, and all of a sudden he's got nothing to get him anywhere. In split seconds, he then made the decision that he was going to land that plane in the middle of the Hudson River. Everyone said, you should have gone here, you should have gone there. And he said, no, I made the decision. And he landed that plane. His name's Chesley Sullenberger. It became a movie called Sully. And if you want to watch that movie, then it's a fantastic movie. But the guy behind the movie is a guy called Captain Chesley Sullenberger. And he is quoted as saying that when he was facing the Transport Safety Bureau of America, ATSB, I think it was. But he was quoted as saying, "There were many times throughout my 35 years of experience where I needed to make small regular deposits into the Experience Bank so that on one particular occasion I had enough experience in that bank to make the very large withdrawal to make sure that 163 people made it that day." The thing is, for us in our Christian experience, saying yes to following Jesus and yes to following his footsteps does not mean that we move our address from wherever we currently are into 103 Easy Street. It does not become easy just because we say we're going to follow Jesus. And there are many times in your life and in mine where I need to be making those small, regular deposits in my life so that when the tough things come my way, I can make a large withdrawal because of the faith that I have built up, one seed after one seed after one seed. We read in Scripture about the faith of a mustard seed. When you look at, and I was reading up on this this last week, the week before, about the mustard seed, and it's actually referred to as a weed. It's referred to as a weed. It grows prolifically just from one seed. I look at a mustard seed and think, man, my faith is pretty ordinary if I can't move a mountain with this smallest little seed. Smaller than a pinhead, right? But you plant it and it will be, there'll be mustard seed everywhere. It's actually referred to in Scripture as having the faith of a mustard seed. Jesus uses that term and that phrase. They would have known that a mustard seed can spread like wildfire. Sometimes our small deposit of faith into the life of somebody else through a conversation that we have can spread in just the same way. So what does a habit look like? Is it like a mustard seed? Based on where we want to get to, that is a closer relationship with Jesus and to be a better reflection of him within our world. What are we prepared to do? That one small thing, one small habit or action each and every day to make sure that we see seeds of faith like mustard seeds spread throughout our community. You see, for me and for you, I know that it certainly is for me, and I'm pretty sure it is for you. You want to see the Fassifern Valley transformed for Jesus, right? You want to see it transformed by the love of Jesus. I want to see that. I want to see the kingdom of heaven brought to earth through the conversations that you have and that I have within our community. Well, we could do like we said last week, or the week before rather, leave it to somebody else. Someone else might do that. Or we could have that steely resolve that, yep, someone else might do it, but I'm going to make sure that I play my part. That I'm going to play my part in making sure that those small, regular deposits are happening in my life, but I'm also faithfully planting those seeds of hope. What's the one thing that we might do? If we want to be someone who increases in gratitude, then let's write a note of appreciation every day. Let's send a text message saying, hey, I appreciate what you've done. Let's go looking for where God is already at work. If we want to be somebody who's organized, maybe that's just not your thing. But if you do, then first thing you do in the morning is have a plan for the day. Want to be a person that's focused? Set out some priorities. want to be a person who makes a difference in our world, then join with me and turn your eyes upon Jesus in everything that you do. I was looking back through some notes that I made about a sermon I did on habits 15 years ago. And it made me realize that I've been doing this a little while. But a number of years ago, I was involved in youth and children's ministries at a local church. And one Sunday night, I preached a sermon on habits. And it was information that I got from a book a number of years ago called Purpose Driven Youth Ministry. And the guy that wrote it, his name has escaped me for 2 weeks, has now come to me. His name's Doug Fields. And he was the youth pastor at Saddleback Church in the United States. And I've changed the acronym for habits to the following after 15 years. H is for hanging out with God. Sometimes I think that I'm guilty as much as you that we do our daily devotions and quiet time with God as a tick in the box rather than just spending time pausing and waiting with God, right? Well, I've got to get my devotions done. It's like turning the kettle on in the mornings. I've got to get that done rather than spending time aside. We might having a consistent time with God through prayer, Bible reading and silence and solitude. Most of you are looking at me laughing about the silence part, and that's all right. But it's amazing. One of the sharings that we had this morning, the words that stayed with me were that when we are silent, we'll see life around us. Sometimes I think we need to be silent and in solitude so that we can see where God is at work. The other thing that stuck with me this morning from the sharing, and it's not identifiable, but it was wherever there was water, there was life. Wherever there was water, there was life. Well, we believe, don't we, that Jesus is the living water? Do we come to Him wanting Him to help our thirsty, parched souls? That happens when we hang out with God. The second one, A, is the encouragement is to attend church. Now, that's not just coming on a Sunday because of all the other things that are going on right now with COVID and that. It just makes it difficult. But it does, the encouragement is to keep connected. Don't try to do this journey of faith alone. But keep connected with the body of Christ. This is why we continue to have worship even online, and the sacrifices that have been made by our tech and AV teams to make that happen, we are forever grateful. We are grateful. Because it kept us connected. B was for being generous. We're not talking about money. We're talking about time, talents, and treasures. God has created you on purpose for a purpose. Then allow those gifts to be used by Him in the habits that we develop. I was investing in healthy relationships and healthy friendships. Have those people around us that we trust enough to speak into our lives and allow them to speak into us as well, feeding us, challenging us to be the best that we can be. T is to tell our story. Don't tell someone else's story. How often when you say to someone, "Oh, have you been to that place for dinner?" "Oh, I know someone who has been to that place for dinner. They said it was pretty good." How much more depth of opinion is it when you don't talk about somebody else who knows someone who knows someone who knows Jesus, but when you can say, "You know what? I'm broken. I'm not perfect. And I can tell you about my experience with Jesus." So let's tell our story. As the hymn writer says, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Let's tell our story of blessed assurance. And the last one, S, is for serving others. There are many opportunities to serve with your gifts within the church here at Fast Salvos, and we want to give you that opportunity. So make sure you make contact with us if you want to be involved in that. When we're making habits, whatever they might be, we need to make sure that they are make it obvious. Don't go for what's easy, go for what's best. Now tell me, when you go to the grocery store, you walk down the aisle, we're looking for something to eat, we often go for what's the easiest, right? Rather than what's best. Okay, maybe it's just me. But there are many times when I go to the grocery store and I'm like, I couldn't be bothered. Nah, just grab something quick, easy, let's go. Rather than doing what's best. Do you know, I went to the store the other day, and it's no blight on any of the grocery stores that I've been to, and I'm not going to name names, but I spent ages, like 15 minutes, searching for something because it wasn't easy. And I couldn't find it. And then when I finally did find it, I decided to leave it there anyway because I didn't need it that much. Man, it was expensive. Oh, holy Moses, it was expensive. But often, we aren't prepared to pay the cost of what's best. And so we just go looking for what's easiest. We don't want to pay the cost of what's best. We don't want to pay the cost of what it actually, for those people that have smartphones and there's this new, what do they call it, feature, which is highly offensive. It tells me how many minutes I've been on my phone this week. Has anyone else had that come up on their phone? Well, those numbers are remarkably large sometimes, and they challenge me greatly because I often say I don't have time for that. Well, I kind of probably do if I just, you know. I mean, I know that often I'm doing phone calls or emails or text messaging or whatever, but holy Moses, that number is very big sometimes. When we're trying to make new habits, we often try to run before we walk. When we're trying to make new habits, we often try to eat this much when we can only really stomach this much. We need to make it not just obvious, but we need to make it easy. You need to not just make it obvious, but you need to make it easy at the start. I don't think any of us, well, there might be a couple in the room, and God bless you if there is, that would just go out the front door and decide that they want to go and run 5 kilometres. I think once it says kilometre, that's car, right? Once it says kilometre, that means car. Last Monday night, I was at a food purchasing facility in Kalbar. I don't want to mention it online, but everyone can work it out who's local. Just down here on Edward Street, not mentioning any names. And if most people know I'm in the fire brigade, there was a fire call come in. That could have been 50 kilometres, seriously. I took off from there, and the fire station is 451 metres from there to there. Mate, I thought there was going to have to be an ambulance meeting me there. I'm running up the hill. That hill felt like the Pyrenees. It was just horrific. But here I am. I'm not ready to run. But at 450 metres, I was ready to give up, right? Because I'm not ready to run. But so often in our spiritual walk, we try to run when we actually haven't prepared to run. And then when we can't, we give up. We're not called. We need to make it easy at first so that we can get it into our lives and into our habits. Too busy to read scripture? Read one verse a day. Even if you're not a great reader, most people can read one verse a day. If you're really busy and you can't read a whole verse, try John 11:35. It's two words. All right? Start there. Jesus wept is the verse. And if that's all you can read today, that's okay. Then read something tomorrow. Let's just start with small, regular deposits of time with Jesus. Small, regular deposits of sending that encouraging note. Many people think that they need to have it all together before they start something. Right at the very start of the service this morning, some of our young people and not so young people were involved in and shared a song that said, "Love me as you find me." We don't have to have all of our ducks in a row before we come into relationship with Jesus. But if we want to make those small regular deposits, like Sullenberger said, we do that because at some point in our lives we're going to have to make a large withdrawal. And once we've made that large withdrawal, let's get back to making those small regular deposits once again. If we don't reach our goals, then we often don't just have that steely resolve, but we give up. Oh, I didn't make it. Oh, well, someone else might. Someone else might. Never underestimate how God can do something big through one small habit. Zechariah 4 tells us, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices when he sees the work begin." He rejoices even when we begin. He doesn't just wait for us to reach the destination before he rejoices. He rejoices at the very start, when he sees us start. So what are you going to do today? Maybe you're thinking, "Oh, I'm not sure I qualify. I'm not sure that I'm not sure that my goals are good enough." Well, everyone's goals are everyone's personal goals. For many of us, we spend so long comparing ourselves rather than staying in our lane, we struggle to stay on our course because we're looking at where someone else has gone and we think, "Well, I have to go that way." That's not your journey, that's their journey. But we often can buy into that stuff when we tell people that they have to do what we've done to be able to meet with Jesus. What it tells me in Scripture is that no matter what's going on around me, I need to keep my eyes fixed on the prize. That's what Daniel tells me today. That no matter what is going on around me, I need to keep my identity fixed in Jesus. Yep, there will be people that will try to cut me down. There will be people that will try to distract me. And there was certainly a fair distraction of lions at the other end, right? That would have distracted me every day and twice on Sunday, don't you worry. And it may have even, in my humanness, set me off course. But in the midst of what was a massive distraction, life and death even, Daniel kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. So what are our habits today? What are the habits that maybe haven't been so healthy. Maybe we have got caught up trying to wear a badge of busyness, because being busy is good, isn't it? Being balanced is much better. But the world around us tells us being busy is the badge or the medal that we want to wear. And for us to be successful, we've got to wear this badge of busy. When God, at no point in Scripture does it say, go out, be busy. No, Psalm 46 tells us to be still and know that I am God. So you want to start out with one habit? Then let's be still together once a day for 7 days and see what God does in our midst. Our music team's going to come and join with us in just a moment, and we're going to be singing a song that talks about who God is and who, and by acknowledging where God fits in the midst of our